You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, coming to you on a beautiful Wednesday morning out there in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. 54 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 57 in Oshkosh. Partly cloudy, possible showers today, high in the low 70s. It is Dance Like a Chicken Day. It is Buttermilk Biscuit Day. Todd, you would know this show. I don't think Jim ever listened to it, but I used to listen to it.
All right.
The Butternut Biscuit Show, Garrison Keillor.
Oh, no, Butternut Biscuit
What was the name
show?
Of it? It was the brought to you by so-and-so.
Oh, the brought to you by.
Yes.
Prairie Home Companion.
Yes. Yeah. Remember that, Grayson Keillor?
Oh, yeah. How'd things work out for him?
Not great.
Some things? Okay.
Yeah. I used to listen to that.
Yes,
that was
fun
that public
show.
Radio.
Yeah,
yes, I did.
I really enjoyed it.
He was here a couple times, wasn't he, the Widener?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There was a bizarre movie made about that, about when they were closing down, when it was shut, because it was right downtown Minneapolis or St. Paul, I think, in an old church or auditorium or something. And but it was just, it was kind of cool.
It was.
You know, the small town stories they used to tell and things like that. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really neat.
Nice radio, like a radio theater kind of thing. Yeah. I love that stuff.
Yeah. It was the perfect thing to listen to. I remember one time I hit coming from back from it was on, I don't know who was listening, coming back from Chicago after a Packer game type thing. Huh? And you got that long day and you're listening. It was like one of those cool things to listen to for like about 2 hours. You know, that gets you from like, you know, Kenosha to wherever.
Back here. Yeah.
I love when you can find those kinds of things. Got another thing here, a new coffee and juice concept, Johnny's Java and Juice. From Michael. Thank you, Michael.
That's a good one.
I like that
could
a
work.
Lot. I like that a lot.
But I don't think they have a liquor license.
I'm not into that anymore.
Oh.
I'm not into that anymore.
All right. I just
not into that anymore.
Just want to help with the marketing.
I am coming up with so many good shakes, you can't even believe it. I mean, you can't believe how many good shakes I'm coming up with these days.
That sample that you were bringing in yesterday.
I'm going to do that.
Today. You get that? Did you get any of that, Todd? Because I didn't.
No, you know why, though? You know, you didn't. I agree. You know why?
Why is that?
I'll be honest with you. I don't mean to. My blender is so gross, I threw it out.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez. I bet you see. Oh, I don't even. Okay. Let's just move on. How you let something like that.
Jim, we got to dive into this.
No, I think I'd like to see the rest of his. I wouldn't want to see the rest of his house. But if your blender was not washed for weeks and just got so corroded that you couldn't even use it, that you had to throw it out, you know, I would. I'd be.
All it takes is, you know, rinse that thing out a
hot
little
water.
Bit. Little Dawn dish soap in there.
I tried that.
He tried it, but that was after weeks of ignoring it. So that it's too late. You got to get the chisel out.
I tried chiseling it out. I did.
You know who we should pray to? St. Julie, his wife. That's who we should be praying to.
For the lost souls. Yeah. Wow.
So there's a funny thing. So I think Larry McCarron said, how many people think for all the great things Mino does for people, he's going to eventually go straight to heaven? Right? How many people think Julie's going straight to sainthood?
Yeah, right. They got the one-way ticket. So did you go buy one?
Not yet.
Okay. They're not that expensive, but still they're not disposable either. I mean, you know, it's not, because that's going to get landfilled.
Mm-hmm. You know what the bad part is? I buy one of those little ninjas.
Yeah, they don't make much, but yeah,
that's
those are good.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's
like these, this coffee that we drink here, those Cureds, they're just for individuals.
Right.
That's for an individual.
Yeah. Exactly. 100% correct.
Yeah.
So the problem is, think about this.
I got one.
You
got
to reuse that like 3 or 4 times than the big ones.
Yep.
So that's what it's like. Do you clean it after every single little cup of?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does that. So anyway, that's why you're.
Do you wash out glasses after you use them?
I use all plastic.
Oh, good. That's, you're not much for the environment, are you?
I'm 100% for the environment. What? Why I'm a big environmentalist.
Oh, use plastic that you wash. You don't use plastic disposable. What are you telling me? When you say you use plastic glasses in your house, which is weird. Nobody does that.
Red Solo cups?
Those red cups, is that what you really use?
Of course. Doesn't everybody? Want to do a quick poll?
Picnic.
I only use it for like a summer kind of thing or whatever.
We would put lemonade.
What season is it?
You come over to my place.
Seems lemonade, like it's summer.
Lemonade at the band concert. I would look at that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not ever in the house. Do you use plastic, like silverware? No, it's not silver because it's plastic.
Utensils?
Plasticware?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you reuse them?
Sometimes. Because sometimes you don't get that much on them.
Yeah. Do you rinse them off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wipe them off. I use paper plates and I use paper bowls.
Really?
Yeah. It's all recyclable. Yeah.
It's cheaper to buy. Why don't you just go to the hospice, the resale store, and buy four plates and four cups and four glasses?
I hate washing anything. Then they're laying around and they're doing whatever.
Yeah. Get a dishwasher?
Yeah.
Man.
Takes forever though, and it's loud, and it's like, oh.
Put it on when you go to bed.
Nah. So, I mean, what's wrong with that? I'm not hurting anybody by.
I think you are the. I don't want to say the only one because then you'll do a poll. Less than 5% of the people use plastic in their house.
Disagree.
Todd.
Okay, you don't want to do a poll. That's fine. Because you don't want to lose.
What were the numbers that you gave, Jim?
5%.
I think less than 5% of people use plasticware, plastic cups, paper dishes. Regularly in their home. I think 95% of the people use, you know, the stuff that everybody...
Not people who part of the time live alone. Okay? I'm like half and half or whatever. So when in this half, that's when I do it.
No, I don't think... I would totally have no problem...
If
you
eat
more than once a day in your house, you got to use glass and
I would do that. I would use glass and normal type things.
Too.
I would be happy to use that if somebody else was washing the stuff.
Oh, so that's where it is.
Yeah.
See, I will occasionally
because I don't want I'm environmentalist. I don't want to have to use up so much water.
I think 95% may be just a little high, and I'll say why. Because
I was going to say 90, but I okay.
Last night, like I had some Mexican like tacos, right? I just grabbed a paper plate.
Yeah.
It was just easier for that.
Absolutely.
But I don't do that all the time. I have plates and dinnerware and all that kind of stuff that I use. You know, most of the time, but occasionally I'll use. So I would say a good bet would be at least 75 to 80% of people typically use actual plates and dinnerware, silverware.
In
glasses.
General, if they're having a regular meal, but if somebody's just, you know, you make yourself like when I make
peanut butter and bologna
when
sandwich.
When I make myself chili.
Chili, okay. Just meatloaf sandwich, which I had last night. No, glass. Cloth napkin, silverware.
What?
Yeah.
Now that's a little for me. I would
way over time.
Why the paper? I think
who does the dishes?
It goes in the dishwasher.
See, that's what I mean.
Then we wash it. Yeah. We run it at night.
Just being honest.
We have a whole drawer of napkins. That paper stuff.
You use
your
cloth
fingers.
Napkins?
No, every day. Yeah.
You wash napkins in the dishwasher? Laundry thing.
Yeah. Goes down the laundry chute. Gets washed. Yeah. Just. Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Why? Why not just use
paper?
Paper towel.
Because I think sometimes it sticks to your finger. You know?
Well, if you're eating ribs or something, maybe. I can see that.
Right. And it's not as
wow.
It's
okay,
not
we
as
live
soft.
In the paper capital of the world where paper towels are made. And Jim's okay if you guys lose your jobs because he's using linens.
I have paper towels there to clean stuff up, but okay, I don't know. I think a lot of people use. Maybe not people use linens as much, but we just always have that. And they're not that expensive. And I don't know if we have a lot of those. I guess.
It's just so weird. Jim over here, right? Yeah. Cloth napkins and dinnerware. John's over here eating, you know, out of a dirty blender. And then I'm kind of in the middle. I'm like the reasonable
one.
You are. But yeah, I'll just. Yeah, I would not switch. See, I would not. Here's what I would not switch. I would not like change to paper because of the time or because of the meal. I would just always use, you know, glass.
All right. Well, again,
and paper. I would just in glass cups. Yeah.
But then you get them laying around. They're on the counter. They're in the sink. They're in the yada yada yada. I love using something and throwing it right in the thing.
Does it get thrown out? That's the next question.
Eventually.
Or does it? If I went up there right now, what would that place look like?
Good.
What would it smell like?
Give me a minute.
Mido comes back tomorrow. Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Oh, we just got a text. Mike says, Todd is definitely the reasonable one. Thank you, Mike.
Right in the middle. Yeah. Happy birthday. Well, first of all, you know what else it is today? This is something we got to talk about. It is Receptionist Day.
Yes.
Receptionist Day. Again.
Same.
Same as we were saying.
Right. Customer service. Welcome.
That can change your entire mental outlook in a building, in a business, by how that receptionist greets you.
Oh, yeah. I'm no argument here. That person at the front desk, absolutely critical. The best receptionist that I can remember her name was the one at AMS. Did you go out there to see Wally and those guys?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Everybody knew her. Always just super friendly. Always acted like she knew you, even though maybe she didn't. She was great, but receptionist, that's really
you
important.
You always had some nice people at the mayor's office when I used to go up there.
Oh, yeah.
They were always super friendly.
Yeah, they better be. Yeah, it was. But it's not that hard.
No.
To be friendly or to smile or to call them by their first name. It doesn't cost anymore. But they got to love their job, too. I think I want to go back to these two people that we ran into this weekend that weren't very nice to us. I just don't think they were happy there. I do. I think it's Social Security was running out and their spouse said, look, we got to make an extra $700 a month. Go work part time over there. Whereas if they were to take somebody that said, look, I love technology or I love hardware, those would be great employees.
Yeah, I agree.
But totally. I don't think that was the interview question. It was like, can you work these hours? So
got a text here. Bonnie at AMS was great.
Aha. That is her name. She was the best. And she was there for years. And wow, that's great that she remembered that. Who sent that in? Sarah?
Sarah.
Sarah, thanks for that.
Sarah's unbelievable.
Bonnie was, that's her name. My favorite receptionist.
Text us, people. National Receptionist Day. Text us somebody that deserves a shout out. Yeah. Please do.
There's some good ones.
A receptionist that deserves a shout out.
Yeah.
I know a couple that don't deserve a shout out.
We were talking about that, but yeah.
Do I know them?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I tell you another place where, I'm not kidding.
Ooh,
you guys.
I'm thinking.
No, I want to give a shout out. I don't know her name, but you won't believe the agency.
Ha ha! I just texted. Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree. Okay. You wouldn't know her, but yeah. Yeah, you would. Never mind. Okay.
You know who's got a good receptionist? You're not going to believe this. The DMV.
I
swear to God. I went there.
I would go back. You know what? Every time I've gone to, three times in 5 years.
That stamp for your license.
Nice.
Super nice. And she's like, look, how can I help you? And I'm like, I want to get that.
Do you
upgrade.
Have that?
Oh, yeah. I did that during COVID, so that was a long time ago.
Maybe I've got it from then.
It's been 15 years in the making. It's about time. We have to put that star on your license?
Yeah.
Okay. So I went there, and they were just super. I was like, this is awesome. I was expecting, you set your clock to the DMV. It's like, I'm going to be here for 3 hours. And so I don't know who it was. I don't know if she's still there, but she was great.
Yeah.
So I want to look. I know nobody likes the DMV. I love them. I thought they were great.
I think they get a bad rap.
They do get a bad
just
rap.
From what I've got. What I meant. Yeah. I got to ask a quick question. So when I go to a restaurant, okay, I never drink the water. You know, I don't like regular water.
Right.
I can't drink. It's bizarre. I'm the only person that doesn't like water. Okay. But I love it flavored.
Yep.
So could I walk into a restaurant? Because instead of spending that extra few bucks for that Diet Coke or whatever, can I bring in like my little Tang flavor things into a restaurant and just drink their water but use my own Tang in it?
I would say it depends on the restaurant you went into. If you went into like, I don't know.
You can't bring in your own. It's like ordering and then putting in a shot of whiskey or something. I don't know. I don't think they'd like that. I don't know.
But it's not. But here's the deal. It's not something they sell. You know what I mean? So it's not like, well, you sell Tang, but I'm going to bring in my own Tang. Somebody help us out that runs a restaurant. Let us know.
Would you let people do that?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know.
And shout out to receptionists. Give us some names.
I'd be too embarrassed to do that, but whatever.
I would.
All right.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. My name is the Mayor here. Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning. Right now, 54 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton, 57 in Oshkosh. Forecast partly cloudy. Possible showers, high in the low 70s. Brewers, as I mentioned, in action again today, 11:35 here on WISS. Brewers taking on the Cleveland Guardians. Brewers needing to get something going, man. Shut out two games in a row, three hits again yesterday, and just can't get anything going. But you know what? We're going to switch sports here. We're going to talk about the NFL draft, of course. I know that's long gone, but we want to talk about somebody not on the periphery, somebody that was literally in the war room for 21 years during the NFL draft of the Green Bay Packers, former executive assistant to the general manager of the Green Bay Football Packers, Jeannie Bruett. Jeannie, it is so great to see you. How are you?
I'm good, John and Jim. It's so great to see you both also.
It's nice you're here.
Thank you.
She got a chance to actually see you guys in action because she was watching from in here.
Oh.
And she understands who you both are now.
All right.
I mean, she said they're so different. And I said, yes, but so much alike.
That's nice you say. So, female, in the draft room, 21 years. You know, today's kind of receptionist day, but executive assistant day is like a big day, too. And Ron could have done it without you. A lot of us couldn't have.
Ron Wolf?
We are without you. Do you miss that? I mean, that must have been one of the best jobs in Green Bay.
I really miss the people. I miss the general managers who I was privileged to work for. Ron, the very first one, and I learned everything about football operations. I'm an only girl with four brothers. I loved sports, but I never had a clue as to what was involved in football operations and the business of football. And when I started working for him, he was my instructor. He taught me about the waiver transactions. We had a player personnel handbook that was basically when you had to sign a player, how you had to, what you did with an injured player, how you put a player on PUP, player, you know, all of those things. There were certain requirements and ways to do it. And so I basically, you know, he'd come in one morning and he'd be, oh, we're going to do a trade. And then we could do trades for past considerations, which, you know, Ron loved that because he was always checking the waiver wire, always ready to trade, ready to improve the team. And so basically I learned all of that from Ron. And his personality and mine, after maybe even being there a week, it's something that fit like a glove.
Can I just say one thing that Ron did that got everybody said? Ron did something that no one had done before, and this was so effective as far as you talk about different management
styles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What Ron would do after a bad game where some position didn't play well, boy, the next day you'd have about four or five guys that played that position for tryouts, wouldn't you, Jeannie?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It was competition.
Yep.
And it's a tough business. I also did the player insurance. So during training camp, I had to hand out the packets and give a little, format as far as what was involved in insurance. But I always spoke to the players and I said, I really understand you are in a challenging career, and it's based on your performance. And I said, but as a person here working, and I said, I hope that all of you would find success in your life. And it was great. I remember a young man who had come, and he was about four or five on the depth chart, but he just worked hard. And by about the third year, he was up, you know, playing. And I just told him I was really proud of him for all of his hard work. But it's great to have the personal interaction with players.
With that, though, it's tough when they get cut, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, for them and for you, if you're like that. And not that you're a motherly figure, but that you really, you know, there's just a lot of aggressive men in that room.
Right.
And you're kind of one of the more compassionate.
And Ted Thompson, he hated roster cutdown week.
Uh-huh.
Hated it. And I think maybe even more so than Ron because he was a player too. So
right.
He understood all of it. And it just tore him up because he always wanted every young man who came through that door to succeed.
Yeah.
You know what people don't realize though, Jeannie, you were so gracious with Ted when you gave me the box to bring up all the veterans and everything like that for so many years, but he would only miss one in all those years, there's only been one time when he ever missed coming up and shaking the hands and taking pictures with all the veterans, okay? Yeah. And it was a week before their final cutdown because he was so thorough, he would be watching guys face-to-face for the final decisions. Isn't that true, Jeannie?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you with all this inside knowledge, I bet the press kind of wanted you to be a source.
Well, it's interesting. With Ron, phone work
She was mine. She gave me all kinds of trade secrets.
Don't get her in trouble. She was great.
With Ron, the phone was critically important. He wanted to know who called in. I had a phone sheet, and if he was at practice, we had the date, the time they called, and who they were. And so I dealt with the media often, and many of them became very good friends. They were really good to deal with, really good people. And
like national media, too, you're talking
about. National media, too, absolutely. And so he'd take the phone sheet when he'd come back, and he'd answer every one of those calls. And it was fun. I got to know these guys, and you know, they would just, I don't know, they might just say, you know, oh, what's going on? Well, I'd say yes, you know, it's always something going on around here. I said, but you'll have to talk to Ron about that.
Yeah, because I'm sure they're always looking for an angle.
Especially that office when I started. I told you it was a unique situation. I came in and started helping him before I was actually...
Ron Wolf?
Yes, Ron Wolf, before I was actually hired. And I came in and the files needed to be, you know, changed. And I just went and I said, I know everything's confidential, but do you want me to go ahead and do this? Yes, go ahead and do it. But it would only work if I was a confidential person.
Right.
You know, you had to have trust. And you had to believe in that person.
Well, Jeannie, hang around because we got a lot more to talk about. Jeannie Brett, former executive assistant to the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, Ron Wolf from the start, Ted Thompson. And she's going to spill all the secrets of what happened behind closed doors during her entire time with the Green Bay Packers. Right, Jeannie? Naming names, dates, the whole thing. Back after this.
Got something to say? Text Mino and the Mayor directly through the Civic Media app. Download the app, choose your station, WISS or WGBW, then hit the talk button in the lower right-hand corner and text the studio directly. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor on a beautiful Wednesday morning. 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS, and of course the Civic Media app along with 1100 AM and 1590 AM. And Todd has a comment he'd like to make.
Well, this is kind of interesting because we've had Jeannie on the show before, right? We had her on the phone, all that good stuff. And a couple of weeks ago, our intern here, Ryan's like, hey, I ran into somebody at work. And so he was working at his job, and this very nice couple walk in, and they start up a conversation. And it turns out to be Jeannie, and through him, gets her booked on the show.
There you go.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Well, he's a great young man.
Yeah, we agree. And isn't that nice? You're nice to people, and how what that can lead to.
Oh, absolutely.
Jeannie, I don't know if you're listening on the way in. It's National Receptionist Day, and we're talking about that. The attitude of that receptionist can change your entire outlook from the time you got in your car or whatever and you're, you know, looking for it. And it can change so drastically one way or the other from the way you're greeted. Isn't that true? And I know you guys, I remember Linda back in the days and, you know, somebody was always there with a big smile. Mm-hmm. That was important for you guys with the Green Bay Packers, wasn't it?
And that's where I started with the Packers.
I know.
Yeah. On the switchboard. And I loved it. I loved the, I'll never forget one day the training camp was canceled because of rain, and the people started flooding in the door. There were about 40 people just pouring in, and I'm trying to answer the phone and trying to deal with them. And Carol Edwin, who was in the ticket office, and she had started there too. So she comes out. She said, Jeannie, I'll help you. So I just said, people, I want to help all of you. Carol's here to help. If you just get in line one at a time, and our patient will be sure and help you with whatever question you have. And we just, you know, one at a time, or we just and answer the phone. And I looked over, and John, with the quarter, he became the quarterback coach for Tampa, that Jerry, what was his name?
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
He was the first, he started out in John Gruden.
Oh, okay.
And quality control. So he's in the back.
He used to ride his bike to work.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And he's standing there, and I turned around finding, John, can I help you? No, just wait. So after maybe 20, 25 minutes, everybody was, and he comes over and he says, that was incredible.
That's us.
So that's, I know how they work hard, but it's really important. Same way on the phone. It's really important to have good first impression.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Well, let's talk draft. While you were in the war room for so many years, give us a little behind the scenes. What's that like?
Well, I tell you, with Ron, and it was before we had a wonderful email and all the wonderful systems, we were phone connected.
Right.
And it was slow and it was just cumbersome. And for Ron, I would answer the phones and send them into the key guys in the draft room. They're four guys that would answer the phone to help in order to talk trade or whatever. Ron was the final say on what they were going to do. But I also had to type up the trade agreement when it takes place. So here he comes out. We're ready for a pick. And he comes out, he's all excited, and he says, we're going to do a trade. I said, okay. So he, Green Bay Packers trade, such and such, and the team that we're trading, you will put Cleveland Browns trade. So I'm typing away, and then I'm looking at that cursor, and it's just moving so slowly. I don't know whether I've made a mistake or whether what's going on. But and Ron was like a kid in a candy shop on draft day.
Yeah.
He loved it. And that really helped to take the pressure off. And he would invite the executive board, could come in, whoever wanted to come in could just sit and watch. Now, when Ted came along, Ted was not quite as comfortable with that. He was much more serious. And when Ted came on, it was called the draft pick sheet. And by now, we've got all the good computer things, and things can move much quicker, and you do it email. But you had all the numbers of the players. You had the draft round and the position. And so when there was a trade by anybody, I had to change that in the draft pick sheet, print off about 14 copies, and get them into the draft room. I sat in the office right outside the draft door. Well, I forgot where we were on the clock at one point in time. So I walk in the draft room and Ted's at our draft board and I'm ready to pass the sheets out. And Ted looks at me with that stare, that look that Ted happened to have. And he says, "Gene, now is not a good time," because we were on the clock. So I quietly walked out and waited and watched on the television when they were done, and I went back in, and John Dorsey was there, and and I'm handing around. He says, "Don't worry about it, Gene. Don't worry about it." I said, "I understand. I just came in at the wrong time."
Wow.
Was that, you see, with Ron, it was not relax isn't the right word, but he enjoyed it.
That's the word. He enjoyed that it. That was his Super Bowl.
Is that?
Wasn't it, though, Janie?
But I'm just thinking, like, someone like Ted, it must be high stress. Is it kind of like that Moneyball, that baseball thing where you have one guy in one line, one guy in the other line, trading back and forth?
Well, you have Danny Mock was always in the draft room with the headset. We had two reps at New York City.
Oh.
Al Tremel.
After Al, it was Brian Nearing and Chris Kirby.
Oh.
Brian from equipment and Chris from video. And so he was always connected. So he knew exactly what was called. And so that in the room, they knew that exactly what was called. And it is high pressure, and especially me with trades. And then I would call a team we traded. "Do you want, I can do the trade agreement papers if you want to," because when it's all done on Monday morning, you've got to FedEx those hard copies to the teams and get those out. And I say it can be a flurry of activity in a matter of maybe 1 hour, and after that, you sit for a while.
Right. Was there do you remember any big arguments, discussions, or with Ron and Ted, two guys who, they carry the big stick, wasn't there much pushback from agents, from coaches and scouts and things like that?
When you read The Packer Way, Ron's first book, he had a way of, they went through all of that 3 weeks before the draft. Our scouts come back and they have their meetings and set up the board and the picks. They bring in the coaches for whatever position, sit and talk, watch film. They give their input on who they feel that would be the right one. So when you get to draft day, and Ron always said, "I don't like it called the war room because we don't have a war." He said, "There's other people that work differently and they do." But no, because they're so prepared. And everyone has gone through and discussed it, that when it comes to that day, and whoever's in that room then with the scouts, they might just say, well, you know, what do you think or whatever. But Ted and Ron, they had the final say, because they have their number one player up on the board. If that gets picked, they go to the next guy.
Right. I mean, that is legit, huh? I mean, they would just take one off the
list,
and there's the guy that they...
Absolutely, that's prepared.
And they stay true.
Now, when Aaron Rodgers kept falling, and it's interesting because Aaron was our number one guy, not the one who was picked number one. They felt all along that Aaron Rodgers was the better quarterback.
Okay, on the entire draft board, was Aaron Rodgers their number one player?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Why? Okay, but if that's the case...
I never knew that.
Were they confident he was going to be around? Tell me why they didn't pick him when they... Okay.
Well, because they're picking 23rd. I mean...
We're picking 23rd, so they had to wait.
It was 50-50 in, like, Las Vegas if he was going to be the number one player taken or Alex Smith in the entire draft.
And
Sir Sanders, his drop, okay, whatever. But Aaron Rodgers was considered the number one pick in the entire draft.
That must have been exciting when they got
it. It was, because when I was taking the draft pick sheet in with other teams, and they're going, and I remember John Dorsey looking at me, he's still there. I mean, they were so excited. And, you know, that's how it works.
So how did you like making some of those calls? Did you do the arrangements then after the, hey, welcome to the Green Bay Packers?
Oh,
would you be that person then that would talk to them? No, okay.
No, because they, you know, they call and they've got a whole team of people, you know, because, you know, I had enough to do that day. I'm glad I didn't have to do any more of that. But I would get to see them when they'd come in, you know, and bring them in for the big visit and the media and...
So I'm sure people have asked, but 21 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it just is to do something. Do you have a best memory, highlight? I mean, you've dealt with so many great people.
Yeah.
And you speak very, very highly of Ron Wolf.
Yes,
I'm sure
absolutely.
He's your...
Maybe it was a day they gave you that ring you got on your hand?
Well, I've got two of them. I've got two of them. It's such a privilege. And we never talk about the third, that Super Bowl that we lost. We just don't talk about it.
Yeah. Neither do we.
And no, it's just a sad thing. But Coach Holmgren was a storyteller. He'd come in, and if Ron was on the phone, he'd lean back against the credenza, and he'd start telling me stories about...
Coach Holmgren?
Yeah, about 49ers.
And, boy, he didn't show that side very often.
Oh, I was fortunate. I always say I was fortunate I worked for the GM. And these were the early years, but even the latter, he always treated me with such respect. And Mike Sherman... was a very good man, and a very good coach, and I could never see one man doing two jobs.
Yeah.
Never, it just is impossible. And but when he left, it was I'm thinking about the time that I didn't know who I was going to be working for when Ron retired. This is the thing about football. They'd never tell me. I'd find out the last minute. And you're hearing, they're interviewing people. And so I come in on a Monday morning, and here on my desk is an itinerary. Mark Hatley meets with coaching staff at 9 o'clock. Mark Hatley meets with Jeannie Bruett.
And tell everybody who Mark Hatley was.
Mark Hatley was with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
And Mike Sherman hired him as the vice president of football operations, who would be my boss. And I go, I guess I'm not fired. I guess they still want me to stay, and he's my boss.
I mean, you hate to say it, but professional sports like that, it truly is day to day.
Oh, it really is. And then when Ted was going to come, and I thought, well, you know, Autumn worked for Ted when I was working for Ron. And I get a call from Bob Harlan. Gene, Ted's going to be coming in tomorrow morning. And I just want to make sure you get his office ready and everything's, you know, straightened up. And I said, well, good. So I found out that way. Oh, I guess I'm still working here.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Wow.
So
management-wise, Jeannie, and Jim is huge into this, you know, teaches classes on everything, management style and different things. What did you take away from all the different people? And I will say this, you know, you talked about the Mike Sherman who did things a little bit differently. You still take away something from everybody.
Yes.
In summary, with all these strong personalities that you've dealt with, what did you take away about a great management style?
Yes, I would say, number one, because Ron was a scout, I think he had a fifth sense about a person's characteristics. He could see people. And I think a great manager...
Get a really good BS meter.
A great manager sees the qualities in people that knows they know that it will work. And they don't put up with failure. So they're not going to hire someone that they know would fail. Mm-hmm. Number two, Ron always, when he know he let me do my job, he gave me that freedom to do it within the style I had. Another thing was he listened. He listened to my feedback. He listened to
that's a good manager.
What I felt. If I saw situations that I thought, you know, Ron, you know, think about this. Or, you know, he wanted to do things in a different way. And I said, well, just think about this. You know, you want to, he was like a bull in a china shop sometimes. And I think I just, well,
at his induction,
he talked about me and he said, she was my sounding board. I felt that that was really very trustworthy.
It says a lot about
Jeannie
you,
Brouette, former executive assistant to the general manager of Green Bay Packers, Ron Wolf, and everybody. Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor here. Good looking Wednesday morning, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM, WISS on the Civic Media app. We got Jeannie Brouette here, former executive assistant to Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson. We're just telling some stories behind the scenes a little bit, but just about the personalities of the people. I always find that, because, you know, a guy can be in his role when he's on camera and everything. I'm always so much more interested in the real person, because anybody can fake it, sort of. But I love hearing stories where they're good people behind the scenes.
Yeah. I have a great story about Ted Thompson. We call it the Favre, the summer of Favre, with all of the, you know, he wanted to play, wasn't going to play, he was going to go play here, go play there, and finally the commissioner sent him back to Green Bay. But during that training camp, my mailbox was stuffed with letters. The phone was ringing off the hook. They even set up a fan mail line for people to call and complain or say, good job, Ted, or whatever. And so I would open the letters. I had this format I had started with Ron Wolf. I would had certain forms, and I would type up a letter on the letterhead and get it on Ron or Ted's desk. They'd read it, and if anything wanted to be changed, they'd cross it out or they'd sign it if it was good. Well, I was walking in every day with a stack of mail, and I had... you know, one pile that had a post-it note, Ted, please read these, because they were for the decision that the organization was making and good letters. The next pile, they weren't exactly for it, but it was well-written. And so about the third day, I'm walking in with a pile of letters, and I set it down, and I turn around, and Ted says, Gene, just a minute. He said, are those all the letters? And I said, no, Ted, they're not. And those you're not going to see. They're in the shredder.
You did that, huh? I mean, just threw them away.
But I remember Mark Murphy coming down, too, and saying, how's Ted doing? How's Ted doing? And I said, Mark, Ted is steady as she goes.
Yeah.
He is just, he's a steady man. He's just going to take things one at a time. Never upset. Never getting his people upset. And that's how Ted was. Just hardworking, steady as she goes.
Well, he was a hard worker.
That's
all he did, right?
Did he golf? Did he fish?
I think it was his life. Even, right, he would just. He was single too, right? Did he just put his whole life into football?
I just heard that was crazy, but that's great.
You know, I got to believe with that position and, you know, community owned, that people may say things that, you know.
Yes.
And did they, so that hurt a little bit, you know? And you said they, Ted, you didn't show those two, did?
No. Now, the phone, if people asked for the GM, it came through my line.
Yeah.
So I got all the irate. I kept a file, irate fans of letters just for myself personally. And after everything came to be and Aaron was such a success, we actually got a couple letters from people saying I was wrong.
Oh, wow.
Even had a guy, you know, call and say, and I said, that's great because you don't get that. But The phone was interesting. And when Ted had started, I got a call one day. He had his first press conference. And I answer, "Good morning, Green Bay Packers." Jeannie speaking. "What's up with Ted Thompson?" And I just kind of started, "Excuse me," I said, "you have to give me a little bit more than that." "Well, you know, I watched him on the press conference and those eyes, and he was just staring." And I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "you know what? They didn't hire Ted to be the public relations person."
Right.
I worked with Ted for 9 years when he worked for Ron Wolf. And he went to Seattle. He built a big team. He did very well. Believe me, you can trust Ted Thompson. He knows how to build a team. He's going to be a great GM. And you know, this public relations stuff, give him time. He's going to do better. I said, "but, you know, but just give him time. You can trust." "Oh, okay. Thank you." You know, or, but I learned you don't put oil to the fire.
Yeah.
People would call in. My worst years were when Ray Rhodes was the coach.
Well, yeah.
And every Monday morning.
Thank goodness there's only one.
And Ron said, "one and done, we're moving on." And that was the good thing about Ron. He would admit his mistakes, he would live up to them, and he would make changes. But that phone mail was filled, and every one of them were from Philadelphia fans.
Really?
Oh.
MFN, and, you know, I just delete. But if someone would call, I'd say, "please stop swearing at me. Just give me a minute. Just tell me what's going on. You don't have to swear. But if you keep swearing, I'm going to hang up on you." Yeah. And if they did, click.
But they talk about good management. And to make a decision when it needs, you keep a bad employee for a long time. It just brings the whole place down.
Absolutely.
So I'll give him a lot of credit, like Johnny just said, for pulling the trigger. But
yes,
he had to do it.
Yes. And I see this all the time. I've talked to someone this week about working with an employee and the management is just putting up with it. But I can't see that. And this is where the strengths, there has to be the strengths there of handling situations, because you're not fair to the other employees.
Oh, no, you protect a bad employee. That is a bad,
everybody,
bad
that causes problems.
It does.
Jeannie, we got 2 minutes left to go. A couple last quick questions for you. Number one, of all the people you worked with the Green Bay Packers, number one, who would you love to just, I don't know if you drink or not, but you'd like to have a beer with type thing, as we always say. And who would you not want to cross?
Well, I tell you, I'd
probably the same person.
Ron, I get to have lunch with. It's so great. It's such a pleasure to do that with him. And I can't say that there's anyone that I would have a hard time with. My credo at work was treating people the way I would want to be treated. Oh, I could go back and I could. It was a player's wife.
Oh.
And I'm very glad that I didn't have to. Boy, she was so entitled, and it was. I would never mention the name, but she called. I was just starting on the switchboard, and she called one day, and she said, "I wanna.
Is that a no?
I wanna get into the locker room. I need to see my husband." I said, "I'm sorry, that's not gonna happen.
No.
I'm sorry, that's you can't. Well, who are you to tell me that? You know, I'm gonna. You know."
Jeez. No chase.
Okay,
was from outside, though. I mean, the people you worked with, though, were always great. You know, I can see why you got along with everybody, because you do have that right personality.
Well,
you are great.
You're great. You know,
it's a gift. And my dad raised me so well. I always, there are times I'd be in the office, and I would say, "Thank you, Daddy." And my husband is just really helpful.
Super. Jeannie Brouette, you're awesome. Wonderful, wonderful having you here. We're going to get you back again. Quick break. Back with John Kramer. Headlines.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.